And
hey,
Tumpany.
Curtis, how you doing?
I'm good. I missed
you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay.
Okay, good, good. Okay. I know the lighting's not great here. Let me see if I can help it out. Look.
Okay.
That's probably a little bit better, huh?
Yeah. Well, we got a little shine back there, but we'll make do.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got, oh yeah, it's not that bad now. Well, you know, I could kill that light back there too.
Okay.
What's that? No, it's this one
here. Oh, okay. All right.
Exactly.
Good.
Oh, you can see me now.
Hey, there we go.
I'm in color.
How's everything?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I guess Carl is coming on here in a moment.
Yeah, he's connecting with us right now.
Yeah. And then we'll get started. Let me pull out my file that I have on you.
Okay.
Morning, Larry.
Hey, Carl. Good morning. Hey, Curtis, I just want to tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm reading this book called The Snowball. It's a Warren Buffett biography.
Okay.
And he said that one of his CEOs, the guy who turned around Geico.
Oh, okay.
You probably know his name if I said it, but that guy was, he said he was, he probably was genetically engineered to do that turnaround job. Like no one else could have done what he did.
Uh-huh.
He had to put together various teams around the U.S. He had to go to each state and discuss increasing the rates with their, with their insurance. With the insurance regulators.
Yeah.
And he would actually throw his certification at them if they said no, he couldn't raise the rates and get out of the state.
Uh-huh.
And they said he was Buffett said he was probably genetically engineered to do that job. So I tell the team here that each one might be genetically engineered to do their job.
Good analogy.
And I think they are too.
Well, look, we got Carl on hand. We got the whole team on hand. So, we like to start the calls with what's on your mind, any questions and concerns before we kind of get into the material, which there's two things I wanted to do today. One is kind of cover some of the elements of the business plan that you've been working on. And then I wanted to take you through this brief forecasting tool and just let us throw up some numbers so you can kind of see how it is to use that and what kind of information it gives us. Okay.
Got it. I'm pulling up the ZPWM business plan right now.
Okay.
And creation date 8/25/20, and I don't see anything on there.
Okay.
So I thought we had created some kind of business plan, but I guess we just started the form and didn't do it.
Okay. So we set some time frames for you to complete a business plan, and I don't think that September was that month. Let me just go in and look at some notes.
Okay.
I sent the team business plan and strategy document to you. And, okay. And I think what we did is, we spent some time looking at each of the, elements, the SWOT analysis, the value proposition, your elevator pitch, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say, I kind of pulled it up, and let me just point to it for a moment. I'm going to go on share screen.
Okay.
Okay. So we're in the screen sharing right now. So, you know, what I want you to be able to have is take everything that's kind of on your mind that you kind of know about, both intuitively and as a practical point of view. And now I want you to have this document that the team is going to look at, once a month, so that you're looking at, well, how are we doing relative to our business plan? Are we still, you know, as we communicate with our clients, is our vision statement still, relevant? You know, there's a whole lot of companies out there that thought that their vision statements were relevant. Like Montgomery Ward's, bye-bye, no longer in existence. Blockbuster Video, bye-bye, no longer in existence.
They just did a sponsor request for the other day.
Yeah, so they failed to evolve, you know, and change. So we want to make sure that your vision stays relevant. Mm-hmm. So I want you to write it down. What's the end game for the team? What's the rally point? What's the dream? That's your vision.
Well,
and
what's the best thing that could happen? We take over another company that has 40 million in assets under management and move everybody to full time into large office.
Okay. That could be a goal in terms of how you get to where you want to get. But your vision is about, you know, kind of delivering this relevant, holistic, wealth management, strategy to your clients. That you're giving them something that's more than the commodity experience that they can get anywhere. You're giving them something special. So your vision should be, even though you might not be there today, it's kind of where you're trying to get to.
Let's talk about that a little more, Curtis, just to make sure I know.
Okay.
So the vision, the vision that I have right now, that I already wrote down.
Okay.
So it says our vision is to provide such a high level of service in so many facets that we are beyond comparison in terms of client experience and effectiveness. Now that's an overarching statement that doesn't have any technical to it, but it's there.
But that's aspirational. That's aspirational. That's, you're not there yet, but that's who you want to be.
Yep. Our dedication, I keep going here, our dedication to quality of service will be so high, it will drive our industry, and we will receive numerous accolades for our work. Right now, I'm looking at different organizations that give you, like, recognition for service.
Right. Uh-huh.
To see which one I could get that recognition from and how it works.
Okay.
So we can, like, have the national, you know, service to client award or whatever the thing is they have out there. I want it for our company.
Or Barron's or Barron's Top 100, whatever it's designed to be and what would make you feel that your team is very accomplished at this point and also in the eyes of the client. What they feel, what they think.
Yeah, I want us to get a service award. So I started looking at all the websites that do those type of service awards and what their criteria is for that. So, cause it's part of my vision. So it's been like, it's something I actually do and this vision stuff works, you know?
Right.
So our vision is to convey this high level of service to our clients so they understand our value and enthusiastically endorse us to everyone they think is qualified.
Okay.
So that's the aspiration. That's the vision statement. That's the vision statement we use. So you're saying that every we should have a once a month call where we overlook, we go over this vision statement to see if it needs any tweaking.
Yeah, let me tell you the reason for that. I used to stand up in my organization of 300 people, and at every meeting, I would talk about our vision. Now, when you stand up and you talk about it, people don't necessarily believe it. Then I would tell or have somebody stand up and give a success story about an accomplishment. And I would tout how that success with that advisor and that client coincides with our vision of delivering impeccable service to our clients.
Yeah. You can see stories like that all day.
Yeah. So what happens is in a large organization, you have to reinforce that, because if I go in and I says, well, what's the vision of your company? 90% of them wouldn't know it. Mm-hmm. And so what you're trying to do is make that vision a reality.
Yeah.
You know, they're nice words, but is it real? Does everybody buy into it? Okay.
Makes sense. I think when we get that national service award, if I get that done and it's real, like they really do a survey of our clients or something like that, mm-hmm. I think it'll bring us to another level.
Okay. Good. Good. So. Then what we did is we ready to move from the – well, before I kind of get into the business plan, I started the call off with anything that was on your mind that you wanted to cover, and that I had two things I wanted to cover. So I want to continue to take you through this business planning process to make sure you're ready to kind of get all that done. And because your business is in a state of evolution at the moment, so it's important to have a reference point that you can all go back to, because what a lot of folks do, they keep adding on and adding on, and then your real purpose and focus starts to get diluted a little bit. So that's why I wanted to do this exercise with you. But okay, before I go into that, was there anything on your mind specifically that you needed me to try to cover today?
Well, one little thing. At our last call, we discussed starting the mastermind group.
Yes.
And I think I need to discuss with you, like on a side call or something, like who I have and how to approach them and, you know, what the criteria should be for a mastermind group. Because here's the dilemma. The people that are willing and able to get into a mastermind group.
Right.
You know, the high net worth people and people like that that I want to, you know, the people that are already doing stuff that I would want in my mastermind group are harder to get in a mastermind group than the people who haven't done it.
Okay.
Right? So.
So, first of all, did you receive the document that I sent you on mastermind groups? A PDF?
I think so. Let's see here. How to create a mastermind group, June 16th.
Okay. So that is the A to Z on how to form a mastermind group. Now, let's talk a little bit about the goals of the mastermind group, and then we'll flip back to the plan. So in your business plan, you know, when we get to goals, one of your goals would be to create a mastermind group. So who do you want to have in your mastermind group? What you want to have is you want to have people who can be influencers, people who are goal-oriented like yourself, people who are trying to grow their business, people who come in contact with large numbers of people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about who some of these people might be.
Mm-hmm.
They may be business consultants. They may be estate planning attorneys. They may be CPAs.
Mm-hmm.
They may be, you know, an HR director. Someone is trying to recruit talent in a war for talent, but can help you also recruit the kind of talent that you're looking for. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
so let's say, okay, I'm a business consultant. And so if I was in your mastermind group, some of the questions that you might have is, what am I bringing to the table? Okay, and I'll give you, and let's say that you're not an FA, but you're in my mastermind group. Okay, so I got a nationwide network where I'm connected to one of the oldest fraternal organizations in the country with lots of doctors, lawyers, and professionals. I was on the board of the Bay Area Y, which had 25 directors of people from the community and business and industry. So you'd want to tap into that. I chair a nonprofit, Youth and Leadership Development Foundation, do an annual golf tournament to raise money to send kids to college. So you'd be getting access to that network. So you get my drift?
I think so. I think I need to find people that have a lot of, a good network really to be in my mastermind group.
Exactly. That are trying to grow. So a doctor who's got a professional corporation where, let's say he's a urologist and, he's got doctors that are in radiation oncology, oncologists, you know, places, people he can refer patients to as he tries to grow his practice. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A dentist is referring to an orthodontist. Okay? CPAs. You know, that, you know, focus on business owners as part of their practice.
But my ideal mastermind group is like four people that have myself and three other people that have a great network and are growing their business.
And what you do is you start with one and then you ask that one, let's get together and talk about the next person that should be a part of our group and who we might recommend. And so you go through your screens together.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I think this person should be in. Now your mastermind group starts off with one, goes to three, goes to four. Then after a few meetings, it might go to six. So I started one recently and we met this weekend and, there are 13 managers that manage complexes from Raymond James to Morgan Stanley, UBS, Merrill Lynch that are in my mastermind group. I told them that we need to add a female into our group. So let's go identify her. Okay. So I'll probably tap this one out at 14 or 15.
And you meet online?
Yep, we do a Zoom call.
And you got them once a month, all 14, 15 people on that Zoom call?
Yep. I mean, there are times when somebody can't make it, but I send out the notice. I send out a document on the mastermind group. I sent out that PDF, and I gave them a list of 22 topics.
And they put that as a priority above just doing their everyday business, that meeting. That's pretty cool. That's what I want to be able to get them to do.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mastermind, this mastermind group happens to be all African-American managers with very unique needs that want to get promoted someday. Of the seven that I have been coaching, all of them have been promoted at least once, with some being promoted twice and three times. I could create one with women. I could create one with all kinds of subsets of that.
Okay.
So I
need to create the first one, and I need it to be effective. That's the key to it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give you the analogy of what these things can look like. And one of the criterias is that they have to bring me $10,000 in referred business. So that I can spend more time working with them and not so much time trying to hustle down business.
Ah, okay. Well, they're getting coaching out of your.
So they can sign up and be coached. They can refer FAs to go through Supernova any way they want to work it.
Okay.
But I don't charge them to be in the mastermind group.
But they get business and promotions and coaching.
Right.
So that's what their takeaway is.
That's right. But what I do, for example, is I try not to do too much coaching on these calls. What I do is, one of the topics was building an office culture of excellence. And we talk about what the issues were when you came in. How do you solve some of the problematic issues that go on? How are we dealing with COVID-19, the fact that you can't show up for work and have your people there? So we get into those kinds of topics. So when you have your mastermind group, you have an agenda. And what you do is you rotate. I'm the facilitator for mine, but I play real well, going from person to person, expressing themselves. So what you want people to do is, my name is Joe Dennis. I've been in practice now for 6 years. I'm interested in my practice is devoted to pain-free dentistry, and I'm looking for clients that want to establish a routine dental health plan with me. And here's where my practice is located. These are the kind of clients I'm looking for, and there you go. So you says, okay, I can enthusiastically endorse you. Do you have a brochure, something that's in PDF file format that I can send to potential clients? And you do the same thing with the estate planning attorney. What type of client are you looking for? Okay. Mm-hmm. What are the areas of your practice that you're really good at, that you specialize in? So everybody is educating everybody, and these people should become your friends.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Put enough attention and time into them, and they do. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's your mastermind group. Weekly mm-hmm. agendas. You know, and hopefully when things improve with this pandemic, you can get together and meet informally. Mine happens to be one guy's in Philadelphia, one's in New York, one's in Jersey, one's in Oregon, one's in Florida, one's in D.C. So they're all over the country.
Yep.
Zoom call format works real well.
Yeah. I'm gonna probably have to use that when I first started.
Yeah,
I've gotta make steps and basically probably, you know, take my top five prospects to start that group with and get serious about who it's gonna be.
Yeah. There you go. And remember, create the vision. The vision is for us to work for the good of one another and help to promote the growth and development of our practices.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So now back to the business plan. Get your 3.0 team's purpose statement. Get everybody on the same page. Like Nike has one with just a couple of words. It says to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. And you know, they're a global company and they really try to do that in all sports. Starbucks, inspire and nurture the human spirit. One person, one cup and one neighborhood at a time. So write your aspirational and unifying team purpose statement.
We did. I did. Okay.
Share that with me.
It's right over here somewhere. So this is our value statement, right?
No, purpose statement.
Oh, purpose, sorry. Purpose statement.
3.0.
Yeah. Well, you know, Curtis, I narrowed that down to only 18 things, my purpose statement. So I don't think you want me to go through all of them.
No, I think it should get to maybe one statement that encompasses the 18 things.
Well, I think you've seen this before.
Yes, I have.
And, it's quite, in depth. How do I, you know, we couldn't figure out even when I spoke with you how to make it more concise.
Part of that has vision, part of that is purpose, and part of that is value proposition. So what you need to do is break things down a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sending it to you now so you can.
So if I ask you the question, Larry, why do you guys exist?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you exist? Why are you in business right now?
Well, the first one probably says it all. Help clients, their families, and businesses to participate in investments and gain security in knowing they can achieve their goals and execute on their plans.
Okay. You know, again, the first part of that, really, really good. You don't need to do all the add-ons. Okay, say it again.
Help clients, their families, and businesses to participate in investments.
Okay,
but
stop right there.
The add-on was to gain the security of knowing they can achieve their goals and execute on their plans.
Boom, stop right there. That's all you need to say.
Okay, well, there's 17 more things that are very similar. And powerful like that one is, but I got you, Chris.
Okay, you got me. All right.
So, no, I didn't mean to get you, but I'm just saying that I got what you're saying is you want me to get this more concise, but you and I tried and we couldn't do it. So you want me, I could just pull the random first statement out and say that's our purpose statement if you want me to.
That's right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Let's, go to value prop.
Okay.
Now, I didn't want to write this thing while we're on the phone talking, but you know, I wanted you to give some thought to this stuff, but, you know, the value proposition, what does a customer receive when they work with you?
Yeah.
What do they get?
Yeah. And I got that written down.
Okay. Tell me.
I'm putting your comments down. Hold on. So what do they receive? So what I have here is at ZPW, we cultivate and maintain a culture of excellence. Our clients benefit from refinement in all areas of their lives, including their vehicles and home. We bring a client to the investment experience. Excellence to us means creating a standard that is much higher than the exceptional firm.
Okay.
And creating the structure to execute on our mission consistently. I'm trying to use words that would describe what the value is. But.
Okay. Here's what I want you to think about. You give me a lot of words.
Yeah.
Intellectually, I'm hearing you. But are you emotionally connecting with me?
I think if the overall body of this thing would connect, if you hear the whole thing, tell me how to make it more concise, because here's the whole thing, okay?
Okay.
At ZPWM, we cultivate and maintain a culture of excellence. I think that is engaging for people emotionally. Our clients benefit from the refinement in all areas of their lives, including their vehicles and homes. We just bring refinement to the investment experience. And then it goes on. That's about half of it. Excellence to us means creating a standard that's much higher than the expected norm and creating the structure to execute on our mission consistently. And then it says, we hire and develop top-notch people and they know from the beginning that they're going to be in a state of constant development. As a result, our staff and culture are focused and developed to give our clients the total refined, should be boutique, five-star experience they deserve, want, and need. So that's long, but how do you make it more concise?
Right? It's not how you make it more concise. It's how do you concisely let your client know what the value is that they're going to receive from you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the value proposition is, you know, the first thing you do is you come up with some buzz words and then you kind of put them into a sentence or two. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with what do clients want? They want to sleep at night.
Yeah, they want safety and security.
Yeah. They want security.
Yeah.
They want a commitment from you that you're going to take care of them.
Yeah.
So commitment is in there. We're committed to. They want to feel good about this journey that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to kind of always do is don't give me things that emotionally get to my heart, make me feel good.
Okay, so I should rewrite it with that kind of thinking in mind, but do you want me to say what I have on my mind based on that now?
Yeah, two sentences. Now, I don't want you to do it right now. I want you to give it some thought, but two sentences at the most.
Okay.
So the way you come up with that is you think about the tangible results a customer gets. How do they benefit from working with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two sentences. All right.
Okay.
Elevator pitch. You're at the museum gala. You come in contact with people and they say, what do you do? What we don't want to hear is, I'm a financial advisor for the Zuckerman Group.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your elevator pitch has got to be something that says, I work with affluent people and design strategies to build, manage, and preserve wealth. And that involves looking at risk, managing their money, and helping them feel secure. Bang. That's it. So come up with something that you can say in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said. I work with affluent people to design strategies to build, manage, and preserve their wealth. And then what was the thing you said after that?
I say, my conservative strategies help them make money, reduce risk, and help them feel secure. That's right on this page. You can steal that.
Okay.
You know, so so the whole idea of the elevator pitch is to be able to get out, get people excited and stimulated to want to call you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what kind of strategies that? Well, you know, this is kind of the wrong place to really get into some depth about business, but, you know, I would love, you know, to have some one-on-one time with you and further explain some of the things I've been able to do for affluent people like yourself. Would you welcome a phone call next week so that we can get together?
I've never heard anybody say anything like that to me. Maybe because I haven't been in an elevator with somebody who thinks that I'm wealthy or something. I don't know, but.
I'm not saying elevator. I'm just saying the time that takes you to get there. But, when you're in all these nonprofit environments and everybody's getting introduced, how do people explain what they do?
Okay. Gotcha. I see where you're going with that. Yeah. So that's just like, you have to be able to have that first thing to say about yourself.
I tell you this new thing on LinkedIn. And I'm rarely on it, to be honest with you. But I'm getting all these things where people say, I help consultants like yourself add clients with reduced effort to obtain the kind of clients that they're looking for. Something of that nature. Everybody's getting into that now. This has been going on for like ages. So look at some of those and see what you see.
Okay.
You know, they got a statement about what they do.
Right. It's like an elevator pitch. This is how I'm going to get you excited and stoked to want to know more.
That's right. You're at the ball game and, somebody is sitting next to you and you're getting to know, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Oh, boom, boom, boom. Oh, well, what do you do? Oh, I help affluent clients build, manage, and preserve wealth. I've got conservative strategies that make them money, reduce risk, and help them feel secure. Oh, so. Mm-hmm. you know, you that becomes your elevator pitch. Okay.
Okay. It's got to be that engaging, and I can't think of anything that would be more than that, so I'll use that.
Okay. Use that, and see what will happen is over time things will evolve. Okay. 6.0 is your five-star model analysis, you know, where you're going to look at how are we at planning? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What do we need to improve upon? How are we at plan implementation? Making sure that all parts of the plan are implemented consistently. And looking at some of the non-urgent products like mortgages, insurance, tax planning, long-term care.
Yeah, as we get deeper into our planning software, Curtis, and believe me, those things are starting to really get amplified, as Carl knows.
Okay, very good, very good. Marketing. The person who's head of marketing, responsible for overseeing the acquisition strategy of the team. How are we doing? We looking at our game board? No, not on a consistent basis. Are we doing the 96-4-2-2-1 and using VIPSA, the referral model?
Yes, we're having weekly meetings where we go over our game board just like the Supernova model says.
Okay.
And we also, I'm trying to employ that 96-4-2-2-1 model, and I do ask for referrals now quite often, and I do use the VIPSA model for that.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
What do you find of value? Why is that important to you? Can I have your permission to brainstorm with
you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing those things.
Good. Brand and service. Consistently the brand. It's the 1242. It's the client appointments. Rapid response to client issues. Making sure that you're executing on that. What's your strengths? What's your weaknesses? Are there areas for improvement? Then leadership. Yeah. Stepping back. You know, productive environment, team confidence, team skills, team knowledge, team accountability. Are people growing? Are they getting more confident and competent in what they do?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. I don't want any of the teammates here to stagnate, like to get so comfortable with what they're doing that they don't grow. So they all, I'm watching that very carefully.
Okay. And then you break things down into maybe four or five action plan items with tasks, timing, and responsibility. And I put a couple here as an example. So if one of your initiatives is we want to get better at planning, then who's on task for that? What's the timing and who's responsible? If it's improving plan implementation, you know, who's responsible? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, initiative team needs to hire an additional advisor. I don't think that's one for you. Yours is more now, how do we get these people developed and communicating
getting,
with clients?
We're getting some good traction, by the way. We just got another referral.
Okay.
I think he's bringing in 800,000 and they're worth about, it looks like 8 million total.
Okay.
So that was a great referral, Curtis. And that, once again, is from the Supernova model.
Okay. So I am so, so excited and pleased to hear that you're getting those kind of results. That's what you should be getting.
Yeah. You're too humble about what you do, by the way.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's one of my deals is I don't often brag about my background. I don't often talk about my capabilities and people I'm working with and the successes that they're having.
Yeah. Yep. You act like you don't even, you're like kind of surprised about it, but you know that's what's going to happen if someone follows this system.
Yeah, you know, I've got confidence that it works when I get people like you who follow it. I know it's going to work for you. Okay. And so there's a blank template there. Team goal setting. And, you know, all goals that you identify for revenue growth, asset growth, business annuity, or some goals that I haven't put in there. You make up the categories that you want to measure yourself on. Don't measure yourself on 25 things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think 4 or 5 things that measure, that are measurable results, they're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're relevant. You know, at a minimum, you want to be measuring revenue, asset growth, and fee-based business and your household growth. I mean, those are like key metrics, key performance indicators that drive your business.
When we think about household growth,
right,
number of households,
right,
now that we're getting full traction with everything, you know, it looks like one new household a month is going to be pretty consistent here.
Okay.
But that seems like pretty slow growth.
Well, so, it depends. What's your goal? Is if every household you bring in has got $1 million in assets or more, and you bring in 12 households in a year, you're adding 12 million in new assets. At a 1% velocity rate, you're adding $120,000 gross to your current production. So if you're doing 200, now you're doing 320. Now, but, you know, you got to step back and say, but my goal really is 500,000. So then what you have to do is you got to say, well, look, that means my average household is got to be 2 million. Okay. Which means, you know, I'm bringing in 24 million at a 1% velocity rate. That's 240,000. Okay. Or I got to bring in more households. So if I double my household to 2 with 1 million each, that's 24 million, or maybe 3. So now think about it, back it up. 6 COIs give you 12 new households per year. That's 72 just with COIs. If the 20% of your book refers, just throw out a number, let's just say 5 people. 10 people refer you, 5, that's 50 prospects. Now all of a sudden, 72, 50, I mean, you got a pipeline of 120 people. If you close just 50%, you got 60 new households.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, it's a numbers game.
It's like a big ship that we're getting going, and we just pulling out of the dock with it right now.
Exactly. Good analogy.
We're getting them, but we don't have the 72 people in the pipeline right now.
Well, you're cultivating your COIs. I mean, think about it. It was only 12 weeks ago where we even started talking about that stuff.
We had nobody in the pipeline, so it's been right. We've come a long way, Curtis. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. So goal setting, and I'm going to take you through a little forecast model that'll. Now, one of the things I put in here is I separated out these acquisition strategies so that you look at COIs, mastermind groups, your niche markets, community boards, social media network, and VIPSA. So what I want you to do is get one or two down before moving on to the next. Okay, get a solid footing that you got these areas ramped up so that you put some goals for year one. So, and I would say we want to finish up the year good, but in year one, you know, how many prospects do we want to have? Okay.
Okay. Got you.
All right.
Got you. I know that by the end of the year, I'd like to have over 10 prospects.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't now. We have, you know, 3 or 4.
Okay.
So that's still better than 0.
Yeah. I want this thing getting ramped up. I want that thing growing, by 20 to 25 a quarter. In terms of prospects, I want you to have 100 people that are on your scheduler by the end of next year.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to come meet Curtis. I'm so overwhelmed. I got prospects coming out of my ears. Clients are referring me. Holy smokes, what do I do? I'm going to say, well, you're going to have to raise the level of affluence or target that you go after now.
I figure it's going to come in sort of a landslide at some point.
Most likely it will.
Yeah. Hold on. Because I'm putting all that effort. You know, I'm talking to COIs and I'm doing the whole thing and I'm taking them through Zoom and they're seeing our team.
Yeah.
And I'm showing them our mission statement and they're promising to be enthusiastically endorsed referral sources, and I'm just doing that over and over and over. That's eventually going to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's doing something now, but I'm saying it's eventually going to, like, have – it's got to have some tipping point where it just turns into a bunch.
There you go. So, and any other additional team-based goals that you have that aren't necessarily driven by metrics – put those in there.
Okay. Well, we have one big goal, and that's to produce a ZPWM video.
Okay.
I've done the storyboard. I've got 3 production crews that I can interview. I don't know which one I'm going with. I got to interview them. And then I've also got Itzy who has a very charismatic sort of voice and stuff that can do the, here's Itzy over here.
Hey there, how are you?
She could do the voice and introduction on our video, right?
Right.
And, so I'm just saying that that's one of our goals and I want you to know about it.
Did I tell you I made a couple of videos just using my Android telephone?
Yeah, we could do that too, but do you think that's, you know, I want it to have a very professional sheen about it, not something that somebody just made off the cuff.
Yeah, you know, it's like the typical YouTube video. The appeal to YouTube is that, you know, these are regular people. They're not over the top with huge production budgets. But you play it the way you want to play it. You know, it's kind of the matter of fact type thing.
Yeah, it's, I want to have an initial video that I have professionals help me with. And the reason is because I want it to actually look like, you know, I want it to speak to the professionalism of what we do.
Right.
And the organizational, you know, skill that we've put together this organization with.
Okay.
And how it benefits people. And I just feel like an off-the-cuff video can't portray that as well as like an official one.
Okay.
And it looks like a lot of the advisors go with that official video, the really top independents.
Right.
Do those videos.
Sure. I mean, you know, get somebody to interview you, you know, have a series of Q&A type videos.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that too. Yeah, I want to do that whole thing. So I don't know, maybe we could produce it on our own without getting a production crew involved, you know, and all their, all that money. But we'll
see.
They typically
charge you like around $4,500.
Yeah, I got a friend that could probably do it for like $2,500.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. Then that's
and good. That's, they do, they rewrite our script and storyboard so that, you know, help, they consult with us on all that.
Uh huh.
And then they let us do the different takes and staging and lighting and cameras. And then they do the editing and then they, you know, present the options for the final product and all that. So for $2,500, if I can get all that, it seems like a deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so let's just do something here real quick. All right. I want to go through, I don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to run through this team sales forecast analysis.
Okay.
And we'll pick it up. So right now, let's just say we know this. You're the only producer on the team. I'm going to do this hypothetically, so you don't have to chime in. But let's just say that your annualized production is 400,000. And let's say that at your business, your payout level is, I'm going to say 70%. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Forecasting.
So, this automatically calculates the compensation.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had another team member, I just put them in there and their payouts. So
I can't see what you're doing, by the way.
You can't see it?
No.
We just see the PDF.
Okay. Do you see team sales forecast analysis?
In Sternbach?
No.
Okay. Let me.
We see the 24-month product and service agenda.
Okay. Yeah, we're still back on that business plan
document. Okay, I'm going to move off that. Can you see it now?
Yeah. I remember this from the last meeting. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I put 400 in there, payout 70, compensation 278,
mm-hmm.
billable hours. Okay. Now, let's, so this shows if we grow at 25% a year, you're going to get to 500 in year one, year two at 625, year three, 781, and 5 years, you're at 1,000,002 if you grow 25% a year. Now, if I adjust the growth rates, and let's say by the third year, I slow you down to 19%, fourth year, 16, fifth year, I put you at 12. This is what your total team production would be.
Why don't you start out at 120 where it really is?
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is I'm just doing this hypothetically. So, total annualized production of 120.
Mm-hmm. I did the work on this the other day and I could see how if I can grow at 20 to 25% a year for about 3 or 4 years, I really get some pretty good growth.
Okay. So what we're doing is we're billing ourselves out at about 60, in terms of billable hours over comp, 41. Over production credit, 60.
That's current. That's current, but we're trying to build it up.
Right. Trying to build it up. So if you grow at 25% a year, in year five, it gets you to 288. What we really want to do is we want to get you, well, you put in whatever goals you're trying to do, but I think that you can take this.
Yeah, that's where we need to be. That's going to be hard to achieve that in 20, but in 2021, I don't expect anything less than that.
Right.
That's 3 years of plus 30% growth there, Curtis. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
4 years of it.
And you can adjust it.
Yeah.
Now you're at $500,000 in 5 years.
All right. Now I just buy another house to live in and use this house as our office.
Okay.
And we all work full time and go to $1 million from there.
Okay. So that tells you what your team production is in 5 years. Now I'm thinking, you know, we got to really start working the client acquisition mode and get you, we got to get you to $1 million in 5 years. Okay.
Yep. So that assets right there that we're about 20 million right now, maybe right. 21 altogether.
So yeah. So these assets are only incrementally, well, this is your velocity rate on assets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is telling you the assets that you need in order to get there. So if you're going to get a 0.8 velocity rate, you need 63 million to do 500,000.
All my friends that are financial advisors have 60 million. I'm the only one who doesn't.
Okay.
But they had advantages that gave that to them. I don't have any advantages. But we need to get
there. I'm your advantage.
You are, Curtis. You are the advantage.
So this is
the difference maker.
Yeah.
They surpass them.
You're going to surpass them. Now, here's the accounts. I plugged in 85. Okay.
That's, what do you mean with accounts?
The households.
We only have 85 total.
Right.
I mean, we have 44 total, but we're only going to 85 total.
Right. Okay. Because there's only one producer.
Yeah.
So that could change in 5 years.
Like I said, we're at 44 right now.
Uh huh.
If I could take out one of them that probably doesn't qualify and make it 43, but whatever, it's somewhere in there.
Okay.
And then there's about 35 butlers. So 44 high net worth households and 35 butlers is what we're at right now, Curtis.
Okay. Okay. So
I have a lot more than 44 accounts, but yes.
You know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
So with 44 households, that means your average assets per account are about 500,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, your, revenue per account is about 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grow, if your households grow by 25%, you start to bring these numbers up. I can adjust that.
Yeah. I would go from 44 to, you know, we could probably add 20 households in year one.
Okay.
So that would go to 64 in year two.
Right. Okay.
20 high net worth households would be an acceptable growth rate for 1 year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
OK. And then we can
I think you got to get to a point where it's three new relationships a month. Three.
Yeah. And I'm getting that. I'm getting that now. So we're there now.
Okay. Then we're going to stabilize probably at around 85 in year three, year four.
Oh, three new clients or households per month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then stabilize at 85. That's been the goal. I always said when I get to 80,
right,
then I'm considering capping it off there and raising the minimums to,
right. Very unless you onboard, another producer.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Then I'm going to have two different minimums, one for me and one for them.
Right. Okay. So, so when we look at this, it's just telling you, you want to get yourself to a point where you're billing yourself out at about $500 per hour.
Oh, so, by the way, that reduction's really 150 at the beginning. 120 is the net, Curtis.
Okay, so gross. 150.
Yeah.
Okay, so 5275. Now look what happens when you get to 500,000.
Yeah, I know. It goes up to like 80 or 90 or 173.
Yeah, now you're at that 250 level.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of billable hours as a percentage of production. Okay. So you can work the numbers and your goals any kind of way you want. And, you know, you can always call me and I'll do this for you. And then I can say, well, look, what kind of asset growth do we have here? Okay. Let's take a look. Assets are growing at a 29.59% compounded annual growth rate.
Yeah. Lock that one in because that's going to be our target right there.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. Production credits, how are they growing? They're growing at 29.5 on a compounded annual growth rate. Production.
Mm-hmm.
How are assets doing? Assets, are growing at 9.92%. So what we need to do is we need to raise our targets. This is telling you, you got to continue to accelerate the targets that you go after. It's not enough to just say, I'm just going after people that have $500,000 or more. We got to jack that up so you can move that compounded annual growth rate and assets up. That really is going to drive your production performance.
I'm really hesitant about moving it because I feel like a lot of the referrals I'm getting, I literally have to make an exception to bring them on at 300,000 or 400,000.
Yeah, you don't do that. You don't do that, over the next 9 months.
Yeah.
But that just tells you, okay, we're bringing in the households. We're starting to get busy. Maybe it's now time to raise our minimums.
Gotcha. Yeah, I will when that happens.
When that happens. Okay. So that's what all this is all about. Okay.
Is that locked in somewhere where I can see it again?
You have to go on the Supernova site and then they can make it available for you to work it on their website.
Okay. So I just work back through it like you did. Okay.
Yeah. Plug in the numbers. I just wanted you to see that you don't have to sit down with your calculator and do all of this numbers crunching. This stuff probably took us, 3 minutes to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So I will use what you just said in with my clients because when I do cash flow projections, it's very, the psychology of it's just like what we're doing right now.
Okay. So, we'll stop the screen share and, I think that's all the time we have for today. I hope this was a productive call for you. I hope you got everything out of it that you wanted to. Let me make sure.
I'm going to do all of it, Curtis, but if I get stuck on any of the stuff, especially the mastermind group stuff, I'm going to get in touch with you.
Okay. Please do. Yeah, definitely, you know, definitely get back. I think there may have been on that plan, you know, in 10.0 on the plan, that's putting together your 12-month product and service agenda and identifying the responsible team member for that. See, January, February, March, you can see that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we haven't
like done anything to perfect that 12-month calendar for a while because it feels like we're bouncing from one subject to another a lot over here right now. We're trying to kind of focus, so I think that's why.
So get your plan. This is your plan, and the plan is comprehensive. And so once you have your plan done, you know, you can review each element of the plan, you know, eyeball it for 10 minutes a month.
Okay.
Have your budget.
And I share this with the team?
Yeah.
The whole time? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then this is
business plan. I have this whole slew of documents and projections and stuff like that, and that's kind of what we look at.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. So that's your deal. So
that's all it takes to run a business like this?
Yep. That's it. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a comprehensive business plan and strategy document. I don't expect you to have this completed in 30 days. I expect it to be completed within 90 days.
Okay. I'm going to do my best to complete it by our next meeting now.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable.
If I could put in there. Yeah.
Okay. So this would be your roadmap. So if I ever asked you, you know, hey, what's your value prop? What's your elevator pitch? You know, what are your goals for assets this year? What's your goal for, you know, billable hours? What's, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know that stuff.
It becomes habitual once you see it every month, just like our game board is becoming that way.
That's right. There's so much that you're doing well. I want to congratulate you on, the successes that you are having. And, you know, I don't want to minimize, the hard work you and your team have really put into this. I'm very proud of you. So, keep up the great work. And, if you got any questions, send me an email. And I look forward to our next call.
Thank you, Curtis. I think our team is refreshed and ready for action for the next month.
I do too.
Yeah.
It's good seeing you, my man. You take care.
Thank you, Curtis. I'll let you know how things are going. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now, Carl. Team. Bye.
Carl, I'll call you right back in a sec.
All right.